Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with attorney Sherry Armstrong of the Barrows Firm in Fort Worth, Texas, serving Tarrant County and the greater DFW Metroplex in family law, criminal defense, juvenile law, and estate planning. This is the Barrows Law Firm Review, a monthly internet radio show podcast featuring information about Texas law and events that affect families and the community of attorneys and professionals who serve them. Attorney Sherry Armstrong is one of the featured hosts of the Barrows Firm, who shares insight and information about popular areas of law affecting many families in Texas. And today we are talking about Tarrant County criminal diversion programs. For more information about the Barrows Law Firm, please visit barrowsfirm.com and find them as well on Facebook and Twitter with the handle Attorney Barrows. Today's program, again, is Diversion Programs, talking about giving good people a chance. Here with Fort Worth, Texas criminal law attorney Sherry Armstrong. A few of the points that we'll cover on today's half-hour program are, first, the purpose and the scope of the Tarrant County District Attorney's Diversion Programs. We'll talk about programs for young people and how deferred prosecution can keep our kids out of the system. We'll talk about veterans and veteran diversion programs and how to help our service members find the right help and avoid sitting in jail. Felony intervention programs, we'll talk about those and trying to close that revolving criminal door. We'll talk about mental health diversion programs and the issues facing many of their participants. And overall, we want to develop an idea that people can qualify for diversion programs. We want to let them know how lawyers can help them find one. Again, my co-host today is attorney Sherry Armstrong, and she specializes in criminal defense, juvenile law, and family law at the Barrows Firm in Fort Worth, Texas. Sherry credits competitive sports and residence life with giving her the tools she needed to become a successful attorney, and she promises to fight for her clients. Because when winning is what matters, many in the Fort Worth area go to the Barrows Firm based on their reputation and winning track record over the past decade. Sherry Armstrong earned her undergraduate degree from Louisiana Tech University, and she earned her law degree from the Texas Wesleyan University School of Law. She is a member of numerous organizations and primarily focused in Tarrant County. To speak to Sherry Armstrong, you may all dial 817-481-1583 for the Barrows Firm. Again, that number is 817-481-1583. As we have a short disclaimer as we get moving today, this is a general information program and the advice shared on the show does not constitute legal advice. Listening to attorney guests cannot give rise to an attorney-client relationship. And if you have specific questions about any of our content on today's program, you should call the Barrows Law Firm directly to make an appointment. Speak with an attorney, again by dialing 817-481-1583. All rights to this broadcast are reserved. All right, as we get moving, let's say hello to Sherry. Sherry Armstrong, how are you doing today?
Hi, Nick. I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I am well. For those who might not know you yet, could you just give the folks a little brief background of who you are and why you chose your practice areas and why you do what you do?
Sure thing. I have been an attorney since 2000. I worked with the Tarrant County District Attorney for around 12 years, and I worked for the Lamar County Attorney Office for 2 years. So I was a prosecutor for many years, did criminal cases mainly, so that is where a majority of my experience came from. I left the office in December to devote my practice to criminal defense work, to work the other side of the coin, as they say. And I am enjoying it. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy finding options for people who have found themselves in a situation that they would like to get out of or resolve quickly. It's something that I'm enjoying. I like helping people, and I've helped people earlier in my life as a residence advisor, I managed residence halls all through college, and then had a little bit of a career out of it as well. And I was also a competitive tennis player and a competitive ice skater. So with those two things combined, I learned a lot of compassion, but I also learned a lot of competitiveness and drive and goal setting. So with those two things together, I think it helps to make a good attorney who cares for their clients and fights for their clients.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the things that I hear, you know, when you were explaining that is personal responsibility. And oftentimes we have folks who, through usually no intent to do wrong, sometimes can slip up and have the failure to take that personal responsibility. And when I look at these diversion programs that we're going to talk about today, I see opportunities for people to take that personal responsibility. And when they do, they have, with a sports analogy, the option to win. And the more wins you have, the more you're going to get out there. And whether it's on a tennis court or the streets of Fort Worth, having that opportunity for personal responsibility, picking yourself up by your bootstraps, and being a better person, people respond well to that. And that seems to be a lot of the feeling that I get from these diversion programs. But I'd like to ask you, Sherry, what is, if someone caught, you know, off the street, so I've never heard of diversion programs, what are they, why does the district attorney's office offer them, how do you explain that to folks?
Okay. Well, you know, and I've been a part of the Tarrant County justice system for a while. I'm very proud of our area. We're one of the best in the state. And Tarrant County has done a great job of looking at alternatives to traditional probation sentences and traditional jail and prison sentences. And when they came up with the concept of diversion programs, it was the idea to either give a young offender or a first-time offender another chance, you know, kind of a do-over, and, you know, divert them from the having a criminal history or going into the system. Or another purpose of a diversion program could be to provide them rehabilitation. They may have a criminal history which prevents them or makes them ineligible for probation, but with a diversion program, they get that opportunity for rehabilitative services, support, and treatment. And a lot of, you know, there's a screening and approval process, but once they make it through that process and they show they're eligible, many of these programs give individual treatment programs based upon that person's individual needs. So they're wonderful programs. They do wonderful things for people. They cover a wide variety of issues, from family violence to drugs to alcoholism to prostitution, and helping some of those ladies get out of that off the street and out of that situation, mental health, and also young and first-time offenders.
Now, when we talk about young people and first-time offenders, and they think about our kids having probation officers and being on probation and going towards the system, sometimes it seems, you know, there are all sorts of kids out there who are good kids who get, maybe they make the wrong friends in school. Maybe there's been an other family issue. Maybe there was a divorce. Maybe things aren't going well at home. Deaths in the family. All sorts of things can lead children to periods of stress where they make bad choices. And we're talking about good kids who are otherwise ready to go to college. They're on the right track, and it's a, what is that, sophomore or junior year, they seem to kind of get awry. And as you said, it's easy for them to get into the system, and once you have one conviction or two, you're not eligible for probation, that could be really bad. So let's talk a little bit about the programs for the young people and how these deferred prosecutions keep them out of the system. What are some of the common types of charges you see, and what are the common types of, what are your experiences with young people and helping them avoid becoming part of the system, as we say, in the revolving door?
Oh, sure. And you're exactly right. With young offenders who have never been a part of the system, they're scared. Their parents are scared. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to expect. So it's very important to have someone to guide them and support them through this process and show them what their options are. And some of the programs for young offenders are first offenders. The one that comes to mind first is it's called DPP, Deferred Prosecution Program. And they've developed this. This has really been broadened lately. They've developed two tracks for it. They've developed a track A and track B. Used to, it was very low-level misdemeanors that were eligible, but now it's developed into not only misdemeanors but some felonies, because they do realize that there are young people that get themselves in a situation and make a bad decision, and they do because they're young, they're inexperienced, or, you know, they just made that one decision that was bad, and they may not do it again. But some of the typical offenses that we see are thefts, unlawful use of a motor vehicle, burglary of a building, possession of marijuana, possession of controlled substances, pills generally, some false report to a police, failure to ID, graffiti, the criminal trespass. Those are some of the offenses. The ones that would not be eligible, of course, are very, very serious violent offenses. You know, of course, things like murder and sexual assault are not ever going to be eligible. Anything involving a future danger to the community or a situation where someone was seriously injured would not qualify and would not be eligible for these type of programs. But the deferred prosecution program is for a young person 17 to 24 years of age, with, you know, no record, no gang involvement, no multiple offenses, no juvenile history. They're generally go through an interview process with two prosecutors. And to be in this program, you kind of have to be a self-corrector. You have to have some maturity, some personal responsibility, you know, admit to, you know, how you made a mistake and what decisions led you to, you know, committing the offense. So these programs are for young people that we see who we don't want to be punished from getting school scholarships, apartments, housing, job opportunities, and they're generally self-correctors. And so it involves drugs and other types of offense, but just not serious offenses.
Right.
There's also a first offender drug program, and that's not only for young people, but for any first offender. So if it is your first time and it's a low-level drug offense, you can also be part of a diversion program and have an opportunity to get your case dismissed later. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Of course, it's not for those high-level ones where there's any dealing involved. You know, dealers do not or they're not eligible for the first offender drug program, or if there's large amounts of drugs. It's generally the very low amounts of drugs and the minor, you know, pills are low amounts of marijuana.
The first offender drug program like that, would that be, they would avoid probation and avoid jail if they qualify and go through the program?
That's correct. It's a minimum supervision program, and it's mm-hmm. it's another one where the ideal candidate is a self-corrector who doesn't require a high level of supervision. Mainly,
right.
You go through a review and approval process. You have to show some proof of education. There's program fees. And then you pretty much report by mail, so it's kind of on the honor system. Now, the first offender program is one of the ones who has a cost. For a felony offense that qualifies, it's $550, and for a misdemeanor, it's $350. So for some people who can't afford that, that might be a challenge. You know, the fees might be a challenge.
Are there limits on how many people can be part of this program, or are some of these just offered to anyone as long as they qualify?
You know, right now it's as long as they qualify, most of them. Now, some of them, some of the other programs we'll talk about do have some limits because some of them are under grants. But I think so far they have not had a problem getting their numbers or getting too many numbers. But for programs like the First Offender Drug Program and the Deferred Prosecution Program, there doesn't seem to be a limit right now.
Understood.
And the big thing about these programs is you qualify for a dismissal at the end of the program. And with the deferred prosecution, you qualify for immediate expunction, which means that you can clear your record. So that is the bonus for doing a program like that.
Now, if someone completes a program like this and then maybe 10 years later, I suppose, has a similar situation, are there things that are available to them again at that point, or is it once you've gone through once, that's your, one strike and...
Generally, it is a first-time program. Once you develop you get another offense or develop a history, most of these programs, with the exception of a couple, will not be available to that person.
Right. Well, they're really good programs. You talk about, kids with the deferred prosecution program and, some of the offenses that you described, are just simply that, you could just be your kid could be the good kid with a bunch of kids after a football game and they'll get in trouble for something. And, some of the kids in this program who are the self-starters may end up later to find themselves as prosecutors.
That's right.
Can happen, so... what turns people to go to law school? Maybe a good opportunity with the system. Someone saw the good. Again, because we're talking about good kids and good people who, run into trouble or have a temporary lapse. We're not talking about, career criminals.
Absolutely.
Here. We're at the half point in our show. So let's talk a little bit, Sherry, about some of the things going on in Tarrant County, some of the things that the attorneys at the Barrows firm are up to right now.
Well, I think the biggest thing coming up that we're excited about is the National Adoption Day, and that is on November 20th. And this is a wonderful, wonderful program through the Tarrant County Bar Association, where we usually have about 60 families who are adopting around 85 children. It's a huge event with lots of families, kids, volunteers, vendors, attorneys. And there's attorneys who volunteer to do the adoption paperwork for these families. So it is a huge event. It's a very heartfelt event for the families, the attorneys, the volunteers, the children, for everyone involved. It's just one of those feel-good events of the year. This year they've got a superhero theme, which is really cute, and so the kids really enjoy that. They do lots of drives. There's a bear drive so that some of the little ones can get teddy bears or stuffed animals. They are providing backpacks, a superhero thing backpack for each child, because there's different things that go in there. There's books and photos and all kinds of things they get that day, so they're able to put it in that backpack kind of as a memory of that day. And there's also a photographer available who takes pictures, for the families and everyone to remember the moment. It's a great event. It's a good event, November 20th of this year, and it's something that we're volunteering for, supporting, and getting ready for.
Very good. If there are people out there listening who want to get involved, maybe attorneys or non-attorneys or just general members of the public, are there still opportunities you think that they can find out how they can volunteer?
Yes, if you do a Google search, Tarrant County National Adoption Day, there is a specific website, and you can actually register for a volunteer, to be a volunteer, and there's also contacts in case you want to contribute, give any monetary contributions, or just volunteer time.
Very good. Well, I hope to attend that. I'm marking on my calendar, and hope to see people there again. Getting close to the holidays, it's always good to have some feel-good events. All right, so let's move on to our next class of folks who these diversion programs are specifically tailored to help, and I want to talk about veterans. So many of us have seen or heard of friends, neighbors, and people who come back from, several tours of duty overseas, And sometimes they have a really hard time getting back on track. There's a lot of criticism of the VA system and not enough help for folks. And unfortunately, sometimes people run into trouble. So let's talk about the Veterans Diversion Programs.
Another wonderful program. This is a program that is rehabilitative. It's an option to provide veterans facing prosecution with treatment and like you said, the tools to lead that productive life while improving their mental health recovery and a more successful reentry into the community. They develop a individual plan for each person because each veteran is different. Each veteran has had a different experience. And they look at lots of things, you know, which military branch did you serve in? How long did you serve? What's your status? Where were you stationed? Were you in active combat? Were you injured in combat? Did you witness bodily injury or death of fellow soldiers? Did you have hazardous duty? I mean, some soldiers had to collect the bodies of fellow soldiers who were seriously injured or who were killed in the line of duty, or they had duties relating to identifying or defusing IEDs, improvised explosive devices. And they also look at, is there a clinical diagnosis, you know, whether it be a brain injury, a mental illness, or a mental disorder. And we see a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder and bipolar disorder. They also look at, you know, what were the basis of the diagnoses, whether suicidal thoughts, attempts, depression, sleeplessness, day terrors, nightmares, flashbacks. Are there certain medications that the veteran's currently on? So it is a very thorough program, and they look to see, you know, is this veteran someone who could benefit from the program and, you know, what their service history is. But it is a wonderful program, and I've seen them do lots of good things for our veterans.
Very, very good to know. You know, we talk about this leads to mental health. You know, with again the things that a lot of the veterans have you know, gone through and witnessed and experienced, out of the normal course of daily life, and it can really lead to problems. It seems like a lot of people have, you know, mental health, something that people talk about frequently these days. And I don't know if it's too much technology in the world or too much stress or too much uncertainty, but mental health issues seem to creep up. And another thing that's interesting about mental health problems is they can have a later onset in life where, you know, a series of stressful events can trigger things that unfold that otherwise people who are fine most of their lives can run into some problems unexpectedly. So how is mental health and a mental health diversion a program? How does that work? So I know that's one of them.
The Mental Health Diversion Program is one of my favorite programs. As a prosecutor, I worked with this program, and I saw some wonderful things because these are people, some of them have very serious mental health issues, and they need support. They need help. And this is one where they do get an assessment. They look at their history, what the offense was, what the clinical diagnosis is, what their issues are. Of course, the mental illness can't be so bad that the program can't supervise them. It has to be a manageable mental illness. But many of these participants are given treatment, they're given counseling. They make sure that they take their meds as prescribed, which is a problem for some of the participants. But, you know, it ranges from a mild mental illness or, you know, just it could be, like you said, a temporary mental instability to a long-term mental illness that they've been dealing with all of their lives. And a lot of them get the families involved because the families are the ones who had been dealing with some of the participants up until that point. And so it's just that extra support and treatment, you know, to give these families the help they need for their loved one. And it's just another wonderful program where at the end of it, the case is dismissed if, you know, they complete the program successfully.
What are some common offenses that you've seen? Because I'm picturing someone who maybe just snaps.
Well, it is all over the board. You see some assaults. where the person may have aggravation levels that are just going through the roof, whether, they just can't handle the emotions of the event, and it may be because they're off their medication. And then others, it comes out through theft offenses. They go and they go to stores and take items that they don't necessarily need, but it's just kind of a side effect of their mental illness. So those are probably the two main ones that I saw the most. But there's lots of different offenses that come through. But I did see a lot of assaults, a lot of thefts. And sometimes it's not until they get into the justice system through, being arrested for an offense that they really do get identified as having a mental illness and getting some of the, treatment that they need.
That's a really wonderful incidental benefit of that, because, again, like I said, with like late onset of things, and, people who don't realize that they're suffering from something can get that help. Very, very positive program. Another one on the list here is the prostitution program, and we often hear about this with people getting involved in, prostitution and human trafficking and all these awful, awful things. How are some of these ladies getting help?
Right. This is something that it's called the RISE program, and it's something that I saw a lot. There were women that you would look at their histories, and there would just be prostitution after prostitution after prostitution charge, and it was obvious that they were stuck in this life for some reason and were not able to get out. So this program is specifically for those women with extensive histories of prostitution to get the opportunity to try to be drug-free. Some of them need mental stability, so there may be a mental illness aspect of it. A lot of them have a problem finding permanent housing, and that's one thing that they try to do is get them permanent housing, and then also education and work opportunities. It's just trying to get them on track to be a normal citizen, to contribute and be have some stability. I think that's the thing that they don't have in their life is, they need to get away from the drugs or the alcohol and have some stability with housing and work opportunities. But it's a wonderful program, and it's nice to see these opportunities for some of these ladies that need the help. They need the intervention. And, from looking at their histories, most of them wouldn't get this opportunity but for programs like this. So it's just a way to get them out of that life and give them that opportunity to change when they might not be able to do it on their own.
Right. Well, especially if they show up from out of town or, coming to the area and don't, some things can go wrong. A lot of people, again, the common patterns that I see is, from talking to you and other people, is people who don't intend to go into wrong directions or wrong areas, but end up there, through sometimes no fault of their own. And so it's very good that Tarrant County has all these programs to find them help. Are there any more programs that I haven't mentioned that you wanted to discuss today?
Well, there actually is. There's some programs that address family violence or assaults. They have some excellent programs. The main one is the Domestic Violence Diversion Program. And then they have some for young offenders. And they've been very creative with the young offender programs. The first one's called YODA, Youthful Offender Diversion Alternative. And the other one's OB-WAN, Other Behavioral Intervention with Assault Non-Family Violence. But they are targeted towards violence, family violence, how they occur, how can you get that cycle to stop? How can you get the people who are having a hard time dealing with their emotions or their feelings of aggression, how do you turn that around? Some of them are very situational, they'll never happen again, while others are really an ongoing battle, for whatever situation that person's in. But that also has a lot of rehabilitation aspects to it. And of course, for all these programs, violent offenses are going to qualify. And most of these programs do require the offender to submit a plea of guilty up front. So they have to admit to the offense up front. And then if they don't successfully complete the program, most of them go straight to sentencing. So that's kind of the incentive to do well in the program is, you know, you're going to be sentenced if you don't complete it successfully. But if you do, it's a dismissal. So, you know, in most cases.
It's, again, what an opportunity there to avoid a long string of problems because, again, when people talk about getting in the system and once you have one conviction and a jail sentence or probation, it can cause all sorts of problems later in life. Again, employment opportunities, having a lot of these otherwise would have criminal convictions, to have those off the record prevents you from having to check that box. You know, there's so many long-term consequences of criminal history. So if anyone has a chance
exactly.
to avoid something like that through one of these programs that you could fit into, it's so helpful. So tell us all before we have a couple minutes here, how do people get involved? How can attorneys at the Barrows Law Firm, like you yourself, help people find the right program and get them the help they need?
Well, what I would suggest is I would go to the Tarrant County website, just put in Tarrant County District Attorney. They have a whole page discussing all of these programs. And one program we didn't touch on was the Felony Alcohol Intervention Program, and that's with persons who are usually not probation eligible and have multiple DWI offenses, another wonderful program. But I would suggest going to the Tarrant County District Attorney site, going to that page, and it gives every program that they offer, how to apply, if you know, what are the eligibility requirements, and you know, just what each program offers. And that way, you know, they can get educated about the program. Excuse me. They can get educated about the program and decide if that's something that they want to pursue. And a lot of times when I have clients, I look at the case and I look to see if this case would qualify for any of the programs as an option for my client.
All right. Excellent. Good deal. Check out the website. Call Sherry. Sherry, what's the best way for folks to find more about you and get in touch with you?
Well, I would say give me a call, 817-481-1583, or go to our website, barrowsfirm.com.
All right. Excellent. Well, I want to thank everyone out there for listening to today's podcast and episode of the Barrows Law Firm Review. And also, when you find these programs in Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, please be so kind and share them with your friends because not, you know, with this as an example, not everyone comes crawling out of the woodwork saying, oh, I've got a criminal charge I'm facing. How can I find a diversion program? So, again, where people might otherwise not find this information, it's very helpful to click that share button and get that out there because you never know who your neighbors are and who your friends you might have. You know, a friend at work might have a kid in trouble and you might have an opportunity to really help someone. So that's why we do these programs. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for sharing. Sherry, thank you again for your time on the program today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Nick.
All right. Well, we'll be back with future updates with Sherry and with Leslie Barrows as things go on. And again, check out the Adoption Day, National Adoption Day, November 20th. All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you all for listening. This was Nick Augustine for the Barrows Law Firm Review. Everyone have a great day.